Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I Weigh with Jamila Jamil. Hope you're well. I am actually all right. I was a bit freaked out last week because I'd just gotten to Berlin, but now I've been here about 10 days. And I feel settled, and I've been exploring on my own. And I cannot tell you what a breath of fresh air this place is. However the fuck they are running this society, they need to give everyone else the manual, because everyone here is so nice and so, like, careful and practical, and there's a real sense of looking out for one another here. And the men seem to be really way more respectful than any other city I've ever lived in, where you walk past a group of men and you naturally, like, sort of clench your sort of asshole because you're so tense. You're like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And you walk past them and they're just all perfectly nice, even like young groups of boys and teenagers. Like, everyone's just so normal in a way that seems alien to me. Like, I feel like I'm on another planet. The fact that I can go for a walk in the evening and not feel terrified and see other women not looking terrified, not having their keys in between their fingers. How sad that in my mid-30s, I'm only just experiencing for truly the first time in my life what it's like to just feel as though I'm allowed in a city and that I'm not completely risking my life by just being out of my house. Just extraordinary. Go to Berlin. Especially if you are a woman, even if you're traveling alone, maybe especially if you're traveling alone, come to Berlin. It's great here. The food is fantastic. Big fan of Germans. Haven't had a chance to travel here much before and could happily move here. It's just great. It's a great way of life. Anyway, so that's what's going on with me. Is that as someone who's not normally very good at being, at living alone because I'm afraid, because, you know, just a bit traumatized by the earlier years of my life. This has been just the best and I'm having a fantastic time. Anyway, so this week's episode, the guest is so funny and she's so cool. And she's so, I have such a big, big crush on this woman. And I can't believe Natasha Leggero, and that is her name. If you haven't heard her, definitely check out her comedy. Can't believe she's on the podcast. I love her so deeply and intensely from afar. We don't really know each other. We've only met a handful of times where I've been an absolute, just like, oh God, just a dribbling, shuffling, pathetic simp every time I meet her. But I try to hold it together in this interview, this very, very brief interview. And we kind of only really got to touch on one main subject, which is that Natasha first was on my radar because she was A, one of the funniest comics around, but B, someone who spoke about not wanting children in a way that really, really fucking resonated with me and really made me feel seen and heard and understood. And so that made me an even bigger stan of her comedy. And then she went and had a fucking baby, didn't she? Just went and had a fucking baby. And now she loves being a mum. And so I wanted to talk to her about that. Like, what happened? Why did you abandon me and stop being my, you know, the person who I could turn to show as an example of how I feel? I could show her clips to my friends when they were trying to insist that I should be a mother. She's still, even though she's gone and she's betrayed the rich auntie movement, which is what I now refer to this as, Thanks to Rachel Cargill, an amazing guest on this podcast from 2 years ago, who has an entire Instagram account dedicated to rich aunties, to women who want to just be childless and have fun. Anyway, even though Natasha, our queen, has abandoned us, I was still willing to chat to her, and it was really nice to hear her journey and her transition into this completely new lifestyle and headspace, and how that impacts her life, how that impacts her comedy career, her ability to, her desire even to go out on the road now that she's got this little person back at home. It's a really interesting listen, I think, especially if you're maybe on the fence or you're not sure how you feel, because you really get to kind of hear and think about both sides. And she's just a fucking dream. She also has her own new show out. It's called Rat in the Kitchen, which is definitely worth watching. She also has a podcast called Endless Honeymoon, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Natasha Leggero. I also want to remind you that you can find transcripts for this episode on the Earwolf website. iWay has also got amazing merch, which you should check out at podswag.com. But anyway, I look forward to hearing your thoughts. I will try to get her on again, but I'm dying to read your DMs after this, because definitely made me feel some sort of a way. Anyway, I hope you're okay, and lots and lots and lots of love. Here's Natasha Leggero. Love of my life, Natasha Leggero. Welcome to iWay. How are you?
I'm good. I can't stop thinking of when you came to my show the other night. You looked so glamorous, and I want to do my eye makeup like that.
Oh, anytime. Just name the day and I will come over and I will bedazzle your eyes.
I mean, that was next level. That was so impressive.
Well, I told you why. Do you remember why I had to learn how to do my own makeup? Did I tell
you?
Well,
you told me some story that doesn't seem real, which is that no one talked to you and you didn't have any friends until you were 19.
I mean, that's true, but that's not the only reason
I don't buy it.
That was a different thing I was telling you about myself. But thanks for bringing that up on the fucking podcast, Natasha. Yeah, I was lonely. All right, you think your shit don't stink? I was saying that was responsible for a different skill of mine.
My
makeup is
now.
My makeup artist fell into a sinkhole. That was it. And it's on YouTube, so it's not a lie. It's on YouTube. You can type in sinkhole Laurel Canyon and you'll see my wonderful makeup artist fall in. And so I had no choice but to learn on season 2 of The Good Place to do my own makeup. And now it's great because I know how to do it and I don't have to, especially during COVID, didn't have to have anyone right in my face.
Is definitely impressive.
Thanks, mate. How are you? You all right?
Are you saying that because I don't look all right?
No, you always look great. Shut up. You know that. How are you? I mean, it's a lot. You're a parent in a pandemic. How are you doing?
I mean, is it over? Pandemic's not over yet?
No, but no one's wearing any fucking masks anymore, which is really freaking me out. I went to a show last night and no one was wearing a mask indoors. And it felt extremely dangerous.
Well, you know, I think like now we're faced with World War III. So I feel like that is just like the best way out of this pandemic.
Right. everyone's just breathing free while
variant.
They still can. Right. There you go. The Russian variant is what we're now dealing
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. But how are you? How are you feeling? How you been? I was so excited
I'm
to go
good.
To your show. I mean, you haven't been gigging as much of late. For many reasons, and to watch you come back just as strong as ever. You are one of my favourite stand-ups of all time, and I've been madly in love with you since the first time I saw you, like maybe in 2016. So it's been a long time that I've been a fan, and you are brilliant, and I'm so happy to see you back on the circuit.
Well, thank you. And yes, I'm hoping to, you know, my husband just told me recently that he wants to start getting into home DJing. And that to me made me realize like, oh, we've been inside too long. Like I'm up for some Omicron. Like I just need to get out of the house. He needs to get out of the house. He needs to get on the road specifically. Like that's been the hardest thing for me. Like, well, you know, too, right? Your boyfriend, like he hasn't been, I'm used to someone like being on the road 3 or 4 times a week, like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, him and I are used to ignoring each other over text for half the week at least, you know? So then it's exciting. You see each other again and it's like a brand new person because you haven't communicated at all. It's bliss.
And you haven't had to watch them like eating popcorn in bed with a ladle or whatever new contraption or like grooming themselves, like just too much. So... So I'm ready to start gigging. I'm ready for him to start leaving the house. You know,
why
I wish
home
my child.
DJing? What is that?
Oh my God. I don't know. I mean, he used to DJ when he was like 16 and he's writing a book right now. And I think he's been working on this DJ chapter. And I think that chapter has gotten him like really amped. And now on our podcast, he's been like begging DJ equipment companies to gift him some DJ equipment, which unfortunately they did. I can't even call him out because I don't know the name of the equipment, but I don't know. I mean, it's techno music. I feel like
that's so peaceful because you've got a toddler. Right? So they're not.
Do you
quiet.
Like techno? Oh, you're British. Everyone, British people like techno music.
I don't like techno music.
It's not good.
Well, it's just not enjoyable. And it makes me feel mad. And also, you know, I feel like if you have a brain that already feels like techno sounds, you know, I've got ADD. And so, like, I feel like that's already going on inside of my head. I don't want to hear that outside of my head as well. I need something that's going to calm me the fuck down.
Right. You well, I mean? He's and sober so and he it. Also has ADD, but I bet you that something about the driving beat is like helping him somehow.
Oh. Yeah, my boyfriend's into all of that sort of stuff. And he is also...
But he's an actual musician. Like right. If your boyfriend was like, I'm going to start doing stand-up, you'd be like,
Especially house stand-up. Stand-up in the house. I mean, that makes you feel like a fucking hostage in your own home.
I know. So the speakers just arrived, these big speakers, and now the DJ thing is happening. But I don't even know what people do anymore because they don't spin records, right? I think he like hooks his iPod up to it. Oh my God.
It's a laptop or it's an iPod. I used to use CDs back in the day when CDs were a thing. And so, yeah, it's increasingly cold and technical. And it's also terrifying because then it's technicality reliable. I mean, you and I had a clusterfuck just trying to get onto this podcast just now with technology. And so can you imagine when you're standing in front of a crowd? I've watched it happen to so many DJs because, you know, I used to be a DJ.
Oh, you did?
Sins. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You used to be a DJ?
I'm sorry, yes.
But you're
Please
so
stay
smart.
On the podcast. I think by the end of this, you shall realize not actually that smart. I was a DJ. I used to DJ in onesies because I thought that was cool. In big
in
animal.
Where?
In onesies, like a all in one sort of animal suit. I don't know what you would call those.
Oh,
you know, where you dress
like a
up
furry?
As an animal. Yeah, like a furry. Like a furry, but in a non-sexual way. It was
okay.
It was
you know
a,
what? Now, now, Jamila, I believe that you didn't have any friends till you're 19.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I believe it.
In fact, that's how I met James. We were both DJs. Isn't that embarrassing?
Oh well, that's cute.
It was, but there's a no DJ in the house rule because you know homicide is real. Out
well,
in these streets.
When I saw those speakers get delivered, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get some more dates on the road. So yeah. I'll be giving out my dates soon.
That's exciting. How is it? How is that? I mean, okay. We had a brief word about this outside your gig, but and this is totally inappropriate of me to say, and I'm a bad person, but when do I ever get it right? You know what I mean, listeners? So... Natasha, you were my icon for not wanting kids. All right, we need to talk about this. And you used to talk. You would talk shit about parents all the time. You talked the best shit I have ever heard about parenting and having kids. And then you went and you abandoned us misanthropes.
You went and had a baby.
What the fuck, Natasha? All right. It was 60% of your set.
I was just telling Moshe the other day about a friend of ours. I was like, why don't they have kids? And he's like, you think everybody should have a kid? And like, since I had my kid, I do think that. But also, I might have been like gifted an angel child. So I don't know if it's fair to tell everybody to have a kid.
Right.
But I'm sorry to do that.
Well, you know, I got a lot of my ideas. I got a lot of my rhetoric. You know, I was part of your, like, childless cult. You know what I mean? I was preaching your word. I was preaching your gospel. I was taking it to others. And then it's like Bhagwan just going and just turning around and leaving us all. But I am so happy sorry. For you, and I'm especially happy that it has turned out to be an angel child. Go on then, fucking tell me how great it is.
Well, fucking, you know, I just...
flopping wench.
Flip-flopping wench. I like that. Well, it's not flip-flopping because I'm not going back. But, you know, all right, here's That's the true. Thing. If I could just live and never have known what it was like and just have all my time to myself and, you know, be in Marvel movies or whatever it is you do... you know, yeah, I would do that and never look back. But now having had a child and experiencing, you know, it's like you live with this like adorable little creature that doesn't know what Trump is and that thinks like everything you do is amazing and is trying to learn how to do jokes. I don't know. They're just so cute. This is very off-brand for me. I'm sorry, Jamila.
No, it's great. It's great. We're all about multitudes, all right? A lot of people think I'm a really nice person, and so I enjoy moments like this to be able to show that I'm multifaceted. I'm also an embittered old cunt.
So you're not going to have kids ever?
I've actually made the decision to not even freeze my eggs. I'm taking away my options. I am.
And why is that? Is it just because of my stand-up set from 2016?
Yeah, it is. That's exactly right. All right. I mean, honestly, no joke, but the final decision came because I watched the season 2 of Euphoria. That was literally why I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. I'm not freezing. I was going to freeze my eggs at Christmas. And now I watched that and I was like, no, absolutely not.
I love
Don't watch
how,
Euphoria
how...
if you're a parent.
Adaptable you are. I have not watched it. It is, maybe I will.
Yeah, I got no like identity of my own, Natasha. I just sort of watch the telly and then pick how I'm going to live my life, you know. So I was following you for a while, but now, you know, I have to find someone steal the identity of.
But you know, I'm writing a book right now. It's called The World Deserves My Children. And Jamila, the world deserves your children. Who's going to be left? Who is going to fight all these
Diet
other
teas.
Kids?
All right.
I mean, we can't just let the dumb people have kids, right? Like, don't you want to create some future climate?
I just
climate
don't think
scientists.
I think that there's some sort of massive, like, sort of scientific failure if two DJs have a child together. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I don't have a lot of faith. I don't have a lot of faith in that kid. I think two wrongs don't make a right.
I mean, that's not your worst point.
Exactly. Exactly, and I have many. But yeah, so go on then. So was it a deliberate choice? Was it a surprise? How did this happen? I'm going to say that less judgmentally. How did this happen, Natasha? How did this miracle happen?
It definitely wasn't a surprise to shoot yourself in the butt with fertility medicine for 2.5 years.
Oh, shit. So this was actually, I didn't know that. That's fascinating. So you actually, were actively trying.
Well, I thank God I didn't watch 2 seasons of Euphoria when I was 38, when I did decide to freeze my eggs, basically on a whim. I was just like, you know, I never wanted to get a tattoo. I always thought like I'm always changing. So I never want anything, right. you know, to be like solidified. So I was like, well, I don't want kids now, but, you know, who knows what I'll think in 5 years. So I did freeze my eggs. And then when I met Moshe and we got married and I converted to Judaism, you know, they tell you over and over again, the most important thing about being Jewish is having a Jewish family and celebrating Shabbat, which is every Friday, which I really enjoy. But yeah, so I was like, okay, well, I guess I could have one kid because, you know, I met Moshe and I thought he could be a cool dad. And so
before the DJing.
Right. I mean, this is pre-pandemic. I mean, yeah. I don't know what this past 2 years is, you know, that's been something else, but yeah, so I decided to let him, as he said, bust on my eggs and made two.
That's such a foul way of putting it.
And then I got two little embryos and we put one up and it died. And then we put the other one up and it's my little kid.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. They're all gone. And the reason why I was on fertility medicine is because the doctors were like, well, you're 40, so you could still have it naturally. So they were trying to like use those as the safety eggs. And right. I think also, you know how you know you don't want to have a kid. I know I don't. I never wanted to have two kids. Like I grew up with three kids. I was the oldest. I kind of had to be the mom to my little brothers and I did a lot of chores and, you know, I was in charge of making their lunches and ironing their Catholic school uniforms and babysitting and, you know, I making dinner. Like I just had a lot of chores as a child and like I never wanted to raise children. So, you know, once I had a career that was established and enough money to have, you know, a nanny, someone to help me.
Oh, you with talked the kid. About that on stage. You said that that what did you say about the nanny?
I mean,
that your kid thinks that you are that your maybe nanny's I'm the daughter.
Well, because like, you know, the nanny will come and I'll go upstairs and just kind of watch them through the window. But, you know.
And you said that your child now speaks fluent Spanish.
Well, she is in a Spanish immersion program. But yeah, I think that but I definitely don't want another kid. And I think that was really hard for even my doctors to understand because they're like, well, you should really try to do it on your own and use your frozen eggs as your savings account and, you know, for another time. But then, I was trying to like create more eggs in my body and it didn't work. And so finally I was like, okay, I'm just going to use these frozen eggs. And that's when I was able to have my baby.
And so then after all that, that must have felt really amazing.
It was amazing. I mean, but then it's like the worry just begins like that. That is the one reason, like the one thing that no one prepared me for that is kind of a bummer about having a kid is like, it's not just that you love something more than anything you've ever loved. It's that you're living, at least for me, in this like constant state of fear of the worst case scenario at all times, you know, and with myself, like I was never a fearful person. I have a lot of joie de vivre and I'll drop everything in a moment's notice and, you know, go to Africa or go to Thailand. And, you know, like that's just mm-hmm. who I am and what my personality was. And, you know, now I feel like I'm just always afraid because, you know, if anything were to happen to her, I really being in charge of someone staying safe and healthy is just like, it's just a lot of fear and pressure. And sometimes I wish I didn't have that because it's exhausting to be worried all the time, mm-hmm. especially when you're not a worried, scared person.
Right. Exactly. So you weren't an anxious person before?
No. And it's the part of me that I don't like, you know, since having a child and my husband and I are always fighting about it. And he's like, you just need to get rid of your worry and not think about it. And
this is like me and my boyfriend just with our dog. Like he thinks I anthropomorphize the dog and that I'm reading too much into the dog's like facial expressions. And I'm just trying too hard. And I'm like diagnosing him with depression when he's just tired. Like
are you overly concerned about your dog?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm then terrified. You would be a natural
I have a
mother.
Particular fear that he's going to eat a wasp. So I spend my life scanning the floor because then he'll get stung on the inside of his throat and I won't know. So that's my biggest fear. So I spend all of my time scanning the floor for wasps to make sure he doesn't. And then I'm too scared to touch wasps because I'm terrified of them because I'm pathetic. And so I just put a cup over them and then leave them for James to deal with, which he never does because he's a DJ. And so there are around my house, there are just like 100 cups upside down covering wasps that my dog can't find them. It looks like a fucking like weird like porcelain assault course. Don't come over.
The good news is, Jamila, if your dog does eat a wasp, your dog is just a dog.
How fucking dare you? All right. Who are you even now? Are you not a dog person? I take it.
No, I have 3 dogs and I can't stand them anymore now that I've had my child.
Oh, she's replaced them. I see.
No, I mean, well, you know, my kid, at least my kid stopped peeing on the floor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The dogs are, you know, because I have 3 street chihuahuas and no one told me this. I didn't know this, but someone on our podcast called in and they said that if you get dogs off the street, you can never potty train them. So street dogs, they will piss on your furniture and on your rugs for life. Right. I didn't know that. I'm going to get my next dog at the Glendale Galleria. Like, I didn't know that you had to get like a purebred to have them understand that you don't pee on the velvet curtains on the mattress pad. All 3 of my chihuahuas pee freely as a pack.
There's no such thing as a bad dog, just a bad owner. And I'm not just saying that because you said it didn't matter if my dog dies.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Okay, so as someone who hadn't then been like, oh, motherhood, and I don't want to just bang on about motherhood, I want to talk to you about loads of different things, but I am fascinated by this because it was such a big part of what I kind of knew you for. So then to suddenly have this child, did you have a plan as to like how you want to raise your kid? Like what kind of attitudes you want your kid to have? Like, or are you just kind of making it up as you go along? Because I think you have a fucking fantastic psychological constitution. The way that you look at the world is not just funny, but it's also like highly, highly practical, realistic. And like, I don't know if I'll always say fair, but I think fair, but that's also because I'm a bad person. So I can't be the judge of that. But you are like, I feel as though I would have been a saner person with more friends if I'd maybe been raised by someone like you. Do you have a plan?
Are you saying you wish you were one of my siblings so I could have like...
Yeah, sure.
Made your lunch. Told the kids to stop being so mean to you.
Exactly.
How do I want to raise my kid? I mean, it's really hard because you have this whole idea and then, you know... Like for me, she goes to an outdoor forest school and I it's very important to me that she loves nature and, you know, is going to notice and hopefully one day champion nature, because I feel like our earth is the most important thing. And, you know, just kind of trying to instill those qualities in her of reducing her waste and reusing and recycling and, you know, caring for the earth. That's kind of like the main thing. And then, of course, you know, being a nice person. And but then, you know, you've got all these things you want to do. But then the reality is she wants to watch Barbie's Dreamhouse Adventure, and she'll be sitting in front of the TV for 4 hours watching like Barbie dolls talk about their snorkeling vacation. And, you know, it's like, that's not the kind of thing that I want to fill her head with, is like teenage Barbies, but it just sometimes happens. So it's very hard to be strategic on every level with your kid.
Totally. But I'm also like thinking of her as she kind of grows into, you know, a young woman, that you have an unusual persona publicly, in that you really just stand for zero fucks given. And obviously there are things that you care about and people that you love, but you like, before I saw a lot of people do this, there was an unapologetic truthfulness to you, and like a, and I don't know if this is real or not, but like what came across as a lack of desire to be approved of. You just said what you were thinking. Is that real? Is that in you, or is that part of a funny act?
You know, now that you say that, I'm realizing why a lot of the parents don't want to hang out with me at her school. Because often I'm
is
like,
that true?
Wait, did I? Well, I just think that I'm just not used. I'm used to hanging around comedians. You know what I mean? So then all of a sudden you're in this zone of like having to talk to other parents, and, you know, people don't always know that you're kidding, I guess. So I've had to kind of try to be on better behavior and not be so sarcastic. And, you know, I feel like also, you know, your persona can change a little bit. Like, as a comedian, I never want to say anything that my child will hear one day and think that I'm serious and didn't love her or something. So it's like, you know, it is a balance. But yeah, I guess.
But I don't mean that. I don't mean like something that would actually hurt anyone's feelings. Like, I've never found your comedy or any of your work to be something that feels like mean spirited or punching down or like disrespectful to the people you, not in any way that isn't obviously a joke anyway. But I just mostly mean that like you are striking to me, and have always been striking to me, as someone who doesn't stick to like the norms of what women are allowed to say or talk about, or how they're allowed to talk about that thing. Like, just even the confidence that you exude on stage is something that very few women feel as though they are allowed to do. And it's something that I find very, very empowering and cool about you. From the second you walk on that stage, there's no like apologetic behavior that I think we're all conditioned into performing.
Well, that's very nice to hear. And I hope that my daughter agrees with you and doesn't think I'm some
a simp.
Raging
just her
bitch.
Simp. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Where does that come from though? Where does that, like, is that how you were raised? Like, were you raised to be unapologetic and just to kind of be?
I was raised in Illinois. I was, you know, I'm sure there's many factors. I was always very small, so that probably made me loud in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was a child actor, so not a child star. I always like to make that.
What is the bigger distinction of that? Is that,
well,
you don't become a little prick?
I was part of like a theater, you know, like a regional theater. So I was like always in theater my whole childhood. So I was kind of got to miss school, and I got a lot of special treatment. And so, you know, I was born doing that. I, you know, did that. And then I moved to New York. This is a very abridged version. And I moved to New York. And then I remember I went to acting conservatory. I tried to get an agent. The agent said I was too small to ever be an actress. Then I became a comedian. And oh, no, then I got a degree in theater criticism. Then I moved to L.A. And, you know, having all of this like theater background, and, you know, I would go to the theater in New York and write these papers, like critiquing everything. And I think, you know, when I became a comedian, I sort of was able to apply all these like critical thinking skills that I had honed from watching the theater with my desire to be an actress, with also like learning to be an actress at like a conservatory. So I went to Stella Adler Conservatory, which I say taught me how to be a working actor in the 1700s. So there was a lot of like, to the back of the auditorium, Natasha, to the back of the auditorium. And I would walk into my auditions and be like, Bud Light, it has drinkability. And, you know, people were just like, what is wrong with this woman? Why does she talk like this? And then I just sort of started leaning into that more. And maybe I just became this kind of old broad, even though I was 30. And
that's what it is. It's old broad energy and the power of old broad energy, which I think I've been like trying to infuse more into my own self and like welcome that into my own self. Is that, you know, Gloria Steinem talked about it on this podcast. Not
old broad energy? Is that really a thing? I thought I made it up.
I know it's definitely your terminology, OBE, like that is yours and we're using it and we're crediting you. But, you know, Gloria Steinem talks about the fact that after a certain age, you kind of become somewhat invisible. And because people find you, I don't know, like because we find youth so intoxicating and for some reason we tend to discard women after a certain age, she's like, there comes this freedom with that to just be, just do whatever the fuck you want and say whatever the fuck you want and just misbehave because like you're no longer being held to these same standards because people don't want to have sex with you. And I feel as though when a young person can access that early, that is fucking ultimate liberation because then you get longer in your life of just not having to give a fuck and not having to conform to a box. And I think that's something that is incredibly cool that a little girl is going to be able to grow up and learn from you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I always wanted to be an old broad or like a grand old dame of the theater, you know? So I feel like whatever that, I've never been someone who's like obsessed with youth. And, you know, I like to do my own style. Like I'm not like obsessed with whatever's in style, then I'm going to wear it. You know, I just like to do my own thing. And, you know, I think it's kind of sad that we're so obsessed with youth right now, but I'm sure it's just because kids buy the most stuff. So that's why everyone's obsessed with marketing to them. And then we see that and we think, oh, we're all supposed to be trying to be young. But like, you know, what happened to elders? I'm more interested in like wisdom and experience and characters and people who've like, I mean, that's just always what I'm more interested in. Actually, I wanted to do a podcast where I interview like people who are over 80. I'm just like always wanting to know like what experiences people have been through. And yeah, I think that hopefully my daughter can see that and feels that and wants to emulate that.
What, from her Barbie dream house?
Like,
is
so
that where you're teaching her all this wisdom from?
That's
hey, no disrespect, no shade. Like Barbie's making big progressive moves.
She's not. It's horrifying. I mean,
oh,
I'll listen to what they're talking about, and then it'll. I mean, what did she say? I turned off the TV the other day, and I went into a room. And she goes, "You're just an old dumb lady," and I was like, "What?" And that's the thing. You don't want to act too horrified by that, because then she'll be like, ding, 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 ding. That really set mom off. So I would just kind of like backed out of the room and I came back and she's like, yeah, you're just an old dumb lady. And I was like, okay. And I just kind of changed the topic and, you know, told my husband and hopefully she doesn't say that to me again. But yeah, I mean, that's,
you know,
that's
who's never
really
said
hard.
That to me? My dog.
Your dog.
My dog has never called me an old dumb lady. So... that's why I don't want him to eat a wasp.
No, dogs are better in some ways. I guess you're right. That is a good point.
Wait, so you didn't correct her at all? Like, not even like in a kind of calm way?
I was
being
pretty shocked.
Being old isn't dumb. And
Well, then the other day she was like, how old are you, Mom? And I was like, I'm 32. And
oh,
really,
good. So
I'm
yeah.
Not just... And I was like, wait, I just lied
leading
to her
with
because...
honesty.
Well, she's
wait,
she's
did
like
you lie
always...
to her on purpose because you didn't want to be called an old dumb lady?
Well, no, because I don't want her to think that, because I know that she'll think that's old. Because I tell her, she's like, 20, is that old? I'm like, that can be old. It's old compared to how old you are. You know, so she's always trying to figure out how old is old. So I didn't want to scare her because she's very interested in death. And that's probably one of the byproducts of the coronavirus and having all these young kids being around the house for the past 2 years, as they have picked up on some of the talk, I'm sure, even though I made it very, I was like obsessed with the idea of her not knowing who Trump was. And I'm so happy about it too, because I actually just read an article that they're saying that kids, not as young, my daughter's 4, but kids a little older, they actually, it's done something to them having, when they were like 10 years old and Trump was in office and they were old enough to pick all of it up, like all of the name calling and all of that toxicity actually like bled into them and created kids who like might have a little less empathy because they were just, that was the norm for 4 years. The president just called people names and
which made civilians
names.
Then call each other names. And then it just
exactly.
Like, it was a whole knock on effect.
It was actually really bad for children. I mean, I told my husband, I said, let's not have any news on. Let's never say the word TRUMP. And she still doesn't know who it is. So I'm really happy about that. Oh, and when I was having my C-section, which I scheduled, I highly recommend.
Oh, same.
That's another thing.
Same, by the way.
I did not want to give birth.
Fuck this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is,
it was.
You can split yourself open all the way to your asshole. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying that I think that is a great thing to do. And I think it's really shocking that we shame people out of having C-sections as if they're just not willing to, quote unquote, do the work. If you want a natural birth, that's fine. It's a quicker recovery. But fuck me. Splitting open all the way to your asshole. You're a tiny, tiny little woman. I could put
exactly.
you in my pocket.
So as I was preparing for the C-section, the doctors were all talking about Trump, because he was, you know, that's all people talked about for so many years. And I said to him, I said, please, my baby's about to come out. Do not mention Trump. And they were like, okay, so sorry. Because, you know, they're just like business as usual, time to do the C-section. And that was like a real goal of mine. And maybe it was stupid, but I was just so happy that none of that would seep into her.
Yeah. I think that's lovely. I think it's great. I think you should try and protect her from the news for as long as you can. May she, like, there's ignorance is fucking bliss. And I know that we would all be happier and better and healthier if we didn't know every single thing that is horrifying that goes on in the world.
But it is so hard because, like, I've also told her when we're watching TV and we're watching Barbie Dreamhouse, whenever a commercial comes on, we yell at commercials and we scream, I don't want to buy your stuff. So we'll do that. And then what happened, it totally backfired. I was giving her a bath the other day and I said, okay, honey, I got to go now. She's like, where are you going? And I said, oh, I'm, you know, mommy and daddy are doing an eBay commercial. We'll be on set. And she's like, commercials? But mom, why would you do a commercial? We hate those. We don't do commercials. And she was just like, the look in her eyes, she was just very confused why after me telling her to scream at commercials and say that we don't want to buy your stuff, I would then be going to film a commercial. And, you know,
how old is she that she's already clocked hypocrisy? That's fucking crazy.
She's 4, but she's really smart.
Yeah, of course she is. Look at how proud you are when you say that. You really put your like chest in the tea of smart.
Yeah, my husband's not a real DJ. You know, he came to it later in life.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Last but not least, because I know you have to go because you're so busy, so busy. But what is the biggest thing? Because I'm just still intrigued by it, even though I've made the decision after watching Euphoria. I'm still intrigued by it. I want to understand it. And I want to know better so I can support my friends who do want to have kids. What are some of your favourite things that you've learned from being a mother, like about yourself? Things that surprise the hell out of you? Other than the fact that you're a dumb old lady, obviously.
I mean, this is very sad and it's not going to inspire anyone to have a kid. But I will tell you, my ability, because I was a very ambitious person. I am a very ambitious person. I've always put my career first. And, you know, it's been the most important thing in my life. And I think that I don't like every time I like am watching something now and I'll you know, a friend who's a director was making something and I'm looking at these shots and I'm like, every one of these shots she's lining up, like all of the time it is taking to do this. That's like time that you have to outsource someone else hanging out with your child. I don't know. I just feel like everything now, like an acting job, I'm like, wait, I'm not going to Detroit and working 13-hour days and being away from my child, or I don't want to go to Atlanta and not be with my child. And so I just feel like the jobs that I'm choosing are jobs that I can do and still spend the maximum time with my child. But I thought,
how does that feel? Is that something that you, because I mean, that sounds like that's just such a choice rather than something you resent, because a lot of women, especially in the last 2 years in the pandemic, ended up doing like the vast majority of the housework and the fucking rearing of the children. Rearing is such an intense, archaic word. And there was so much kind of resentment, understandable resentment, because of that imbalance. Like, and so a lot of people feel very differently about it. It sounds like you feel empowered by the choice, or do you feel sad to relinquish the ambition side of things?
I don't feel sad. I feel like it's just inevitable, or I don't know, like or at least I'm going to choose things that will make me able to spend the most amount of time with my child. I mean,
lot of money. That's all you're saying. You're saying you want to make a lot of money really fast. Just say it.
I just thought that, you know, like I read all these stories about these actresses, like Shirley MacLaine, like had her baby and then, you know, it she had her moved to Tokyo and she visited her like at Christmas time once a year. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of thought I would be more like that. Like, oh, darling, you know, come back from military academy and, you know, we'll spend a wonderful break together and then you'll go back. I don't know. I just didn't think I would want to be so involved, I guess.
And so it never bothers you?
Yes, it bothers me. I want to be, you know,
you want to do both.
I want to be a big Marvel star, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. I see what the price is. And also I just have this idea that I can like become, maybe I'll be the next Betty White, like once my kid's in college and she doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And then I can just be like this elderly old broad and I can kind of corner the market.
Like Natasha, you're so fucking special that you'll always have a career. And I think it's really lovely that you want to be there for these, like for this fast change. Like this is the period of like some of the most rapid growth that a kid ever does at the very, very beginning. It's such a formative time, 0 to 7. Like I think it's very sweet that you feel galvanized, not forced into choosing your kid. I think that's really beautiful. I also think that your talent is evergreen and that you will. And I also think that your kid is not going to want to have anything to do with you long before college, you know? So I actually think it's not going to be as long as a hiatus. If Euphoria is right, you've only got another like 5 years off and then you'll be back in these streets.
Wait, so what age do they turn? Like 11? 12?
I reckon about 11, yeah. I reckon about 10, what? 11. I did a documentary about like the harm of porn for kids, and I found out that some of them are doing anal at 11. So, you know, the time, like the fucking
Jamila,
clock is ticking.
Do
I know.
Not tell
hey,
me this.
Hey, all right, facts are fucking facts. Your kid won't. Because she's in a happy bunker, but she doesn't learn about this horrible shit. But I'm just saying, there's going to be no you porn in your child's life. But I'm just saying that and I'm being fairly tongue-in-cheek, but A, it's great to see that you're already kind of finding, striking that balance, and you're back performing and being absolutely exceptional, and that is just your choice. But also, I don't think it's going to be that long before she's like all grown up and like getting married and getting a tattoo and, you know, I don't know, dealing drugs or whatever they're doing in Euphoria. It's terrifying. So I think it's lovely that you're making the most of this like moment. And I think this is a perfect example of the choice that we have the right to make. Have you felt judged by anyone? Other than when husband. I said you betrayed me.
I think my husband is slightly annoyed because I think he feels like, you know, I should be doing everything at the same rate and touring. He probably wants me out of the house as much as I want him out of the house. So I think he wants me to be touring and, you know, becoming as great as I can be. And, you know, obviously I want those things too, but I'd like to do it when I can, you know, maybe a tour during the summer when I can take her with us, or, you know, I just don't want to be gone every weekend.
Is he as involved as you are with the parenting?
He is, but he is not as fearful.
Right.
And I think that maybe that's just the curse of the mother, or, you know, or there is always one parent who will worry more. Sometimes it's the father. Sometimes there's two mothers, you know, obviously two fathers, but it just is the person who fills that role of, you know, there's always someone who does a little bit more. There's mm-hmm. always someone who worries a little bit more. And those are usually the same person. And those are also usually the mother.
And I guess, so when you mention like the arguing, it's kind of a lot about that sort of stuff of you just needing to, him feeling like he wishes you would chill out a bit.
Yeah. I mean, the worry is, you know, imagining the worst case scenario at all times is exhausting. And obviously with the pandemic, I mean, just the decision of should we eat at an indoor restaurant with an unvaccinated 4-year-old, you know, that can create as much stress as anything. You know, it's like you could actually potentially be harming your child by letting them get a haircut. I mean, I think that the pandemic just has made every single thing feel so heavy, you know. Yeah. and that is, you know, that has been very annoying, but hopefully we'll get that back, and I'm trying to let go of some of that fear because
you also don't want her to absorb that kind of anxiety.
Exactly. That's what he said you can't be that worried about someone and then have them not pick that up a little bit.
Totally. I'm sure there's a balance to be struck. And Jesus Christ, I can't imagine being a parent during, at the best of times, never mind during like the most intensive, like a period of time where you're least able to get help because, I mean, even regardless of your financial situation, because there were times where it just wasn't safe for anyone else from outside to be inside the family and to be in such a weird antisocial period where everything's so concentrated and he's DJing techno indoors. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. I think you're a legend. And also, as stressed as it sounds like you are at times about having a kid, you seem so happy. And
oh, that's nice.
I hope
galvanized. You put it way better than I did.
But you do. You seem happy and you seem at peace, while still with a note of frantic. But that's only about your kid, which is completely fair. It's a very It's really lovely to hear that this is how the journey has gone.
Well, thank you. And if you ever get sick of yourself, Jamila, you can always have a kid.
No, I'm
You're
good.
Young. Just, you don't even need to freeze your eggs. You got like 8 years left.
No. I'll just get another
All
dog.
Right. Don't get a street chihuahua. They
I can't even tell
velvet.
You what kind of dumb bitch I would get called by my child. Okay, I'm nowhere near as cool as you.
She would just like Betty Davis slap you across the face.
Natasha, before you go, will you just tell me, what do you weigh?
Well, I weigh glamour and sophistication mixed with the ability to pee in a grate if I have to, or do whatever it is I have to do to get by. Like, I'm kind of like glamorous on the outside, but kind of like
scumbag on the inside. No, I'm exactly the same. I'm a polished turd, a well-polished turd.
Scumbag. Okay, well, that wasn't exactly how I was thinking, freewheeling.
I was talking about me. I prefer your one. Your one is your freewheeling. I am a scumbag. I think you're a goddess. So, and I like a goddess who can piss in a grate. I am a scumbag, however. Like, I stink.
I don't buy it.
It's been distracting me throughout this entire episode. I smell. Anyway, on that note, goodbye. No, I'm joking. Thank you for coming on. I'm so sad that we haven't had more time together because of my stupid technical issues. And I know you're so busy. Thank you for making the time. And I hope you'll come back another time.
Hey, hit me up. I thought you were going to take me out for some cake or something.
I am totally going to take... Well, you don't eat cake, do you? So I'll take you out for some sort of delicious, savoury food.
I was just trying to intimidate you. Fucking
high maintenance nightmare. Well, it worked. It worked. I can't wait to meet your child. And I'm sure she'll have some choice words about me. But I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you in person because I've loved you from a distance for a really long time. And I hope you come back on the podcast soon because there are a million other things I want to discuss with you.
All right. Well, sounds fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I Weigh with Jameela Jamil is produced and researched by myself, Jameela Jamil, Erin Finnegan, and Kimmy Gregory. It is edited by Andrew Carson, and the beautiful music you are hearing now is made by my boyfriend, James Blake. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It's a great way to show your support. We also have a bonus series exclusively on Stitcher Premium called Ask Jameela Anything. Check it out. You can get a free month of Stitcher Premium by going to stitcher.com/premium and using the promo code IWEIGH. Lastly, over at IWEIGH, we would love to hear from you and share what you weigh at the end of this podcast. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-818-660-5543 or email us what you weigh at iweighpodcast@gmail.com. And now, we would love to pass the mic to one of our fabulous listeners.
I weigh the occasional can of SpaghettiOs because I'm too lazy to cook. I weigh being the proud member of a union. I weigh talking too loud when I'm excited. I weigh splotchy beet red when I laugh so hard I can't breathe. I weigh the love from and for my family. I weigh my small circle of friends that make me feel so much joy, who I trust and make me feel safe, who I feel more myself with than any other people in the world.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.